Would you welcome Pastor Regis?
Praise the Lord. Amen. I wonder if we can just stand and let's just pray. Invite the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. Amen. I want us just to lift up our hands and our hearts to God, and let's ask for his blessings today upon the remaining of this service. Lord, we thank you today for all that you've done for this church. I want to ask your blessings upon the remaining of this service and this sermon. Ask you, O God, to give us strength. O God, open up our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to understand what you have for us to do in these last days, God. We just ask you, O God, to pour your blessings out upon us today. Give us the strength that we need to make it, O God, in these end times. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be with you here this morning. I definitely want to give honor to my friend, Pastor Corey Smithy, and his lovely wife. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity of being able to come and share the word of the Lord and give you my heart, what I feel like God wants us to share with you about evangelism. It's one of my heartbeats. I love reaching people for Jesus. I want to direct your attention real quick to the book of St. John, chapter 15. And I'm so honored just to be here on the anniversary month. I've been knowing pastors, the Smithy family, for years, and this is only my second service with you guys. And I'm so honored. I'm a little nervous. I got the Judge Hayes in the building. Amen. Good to see him again. Amen. But I'm just so grateful for the friendship that I've had. Every time I come around, you all, you're so kind to me. And I'm very appreciative for the friendship that I've developed within this church. And you are a great body of people. And I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your friendship. Amen. And if we could just read here in St. John, chapter 15. And I'm going to try to take my time, but I want to give us a deeper understanding of what the Lord has to say today. Jesus begins to read here in John 15, verse 1. And the scripture says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth more fruit. I want to bring forth more fruit in the kingdom of God. Now, verse 6 says, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be in my disciples. Amen. I want to minister just for a little while on a simple word, and it's just been ringing in my spirit. The word connecting has been ringing in my spirit, and I believe all of us here has, anybody have any cell phones in here? I believe we all do. How many of us got some, like, tablets or maybe different types of device? Basically, we go around life spending our time trying to connect to Wi-Fi. And it just kind of bothered me. I said, this is the time that we live in, but I'm serving God for a period of time, and I want to make sure that I am connecting to Jesus, connecting to his word, connecting to his plan, connecting to his purpose. Connecting with God is one of the most important things we must do to be effective in evangelism. Evangelism is about connecting the lost and the hurting. Basically, our responsibility is connecting them to Christ. Ultimately, when we define the word evangelism, it is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ either by preaching his word or personal witnessing. That's one of my favorites. I love doing both. I love connecting people to Jesus. We all can go and evangelize the world. All of us here, we pretty much go to the grocery store. We go to the bank, gas station. My favorite is Walmart. I love Walmart. If you want to find me, you'll find me in Walmart. But God sends us to places where there are people, and we are in the people-driven business. Amen. Amen. All God wants us to do is to make a connection with a lost and dying world. I'm the type of person, I know no strangers. I can make conversation with anyone. I find a conversation piece like the weather. I asked a lady the other day when I was at work, I said, "Is it hot outside?" Well, that's a dumb question in the summertime. Of course it's hot outside. But I had a conversation piece because I wanted to make a connection. And little did I know that this lady was hurting. Little did I know that she was going through some things in her life, and I was able to witness to her. Didn't even get to invite her to church, but just to minister to her, just to see the need that she had, be that God was able to use me to touch her through his word. That's what it's all about, making that connection. God wants us to make connection with people that are hurting. I always said, you know, people can put on the facade and make like everything is all right, but there are people that are hurting down deep down inside. There are a lot of people that are without Jesus that are hurting tremendously that need a touch from God. And understand, when we make that connection with people, amen, it opens the door of getting to know them. And then we will see the connection that God has in store for us. Many years ago, God gave me John 15, 1 through 8. And it gave me a burden to win souls for Jesus Christ. There's a scripture that says in Proverbs 11 and 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." It takes wisdom to win souls. The reality is, souls take patience. You must have or must be passionate about winning souls. Can I ask you a question today? How many of you are passionate about winning souls to Jesus? Amen. I'm passionate about winning souls for Jesus Christ. A lot of times we can get frustrated with reaching souls. I have something that I want to share with you today. And in the process, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." I read this to tell you a story of my niece. My niece had a desire to go see her grandfather's cows. And she was excited. She was thoroughly excited to go see her grandpa's cows. So her mom and dad took her down to see grandpa's cows. Once she arrived, to make a long story short, She sees the cows along the fence, and she gets excited. Let me out. Let me out. So she gets out and runs down the little road there. But little did we know that when she came back, she started crying. And she was crying. She was hurt. And they said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong? What's wrong?" She said, "That cow told me to move." Well, we all know the sound a cow's make. But her interpretation was, "You need to move." And evangelism can be frustrating, church. It can. But he said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. Just because someone may tell you no, don't mean that's it. Because if you keep going, if you keep, amen, reaching people, someone's going to tell you yes. It has to do with anything. If you invite somebody to church and they don't show up, that invitation is not in vain. You keep inviting. You keep inviting. You keep telling people about the goodness of Jesus. Amen. And eventually someone is going to come, amen, and be in the house of the Lord with you. That's what soul winning is all about. Being determined, amen, not to give up and give in. God told me to take all of my life experiences, and we all have some life experiences. All of us can raise our hands and say, "I got some life experiences." I do too. I want to give you a few of my life experiences. God said, "I want you to use all of your life experiences to glorify me. I want you to use these life experiences so you can glorify my name." The first thing I want to share with you, when I was a kid, I was an abused child. A lot of you didn't know that. You say, "He looks pretty good right now." But when I was a child, I was an abused child. My mother abused me. Hit me with all kinds of things, all kinds of objects. I got a cut right over above my eye. She swung and hit me with a butcher knife. Sliced my eye open. I was homeless. My granddaddy used to own a liquor store. And at a very young age, I became an alcoholic. A lot of people don't know that. And from that led to drugs and many different other things. When I was little, when I was a teenager, I couldn't read. I've been without food or clothes. I've been in gangs. I've been in jail. I've been divorced. My life experience. But God said, use these to glorify me. God said, use these to connect with people that are having some similar experiences. Life happens to us all, but don't allow what happens to you derail you from God's purpose. My divorce was one of the hardest things I've ever went through, but divorces is happening all around us. People are hurting, and there's a scripture that says, Jesus talked to the Pharisees, said, if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. There are some people that need guidance and direction. And I didn't know, my brother sent me a message this morning that touched my heart because I didn't realize how many people are watching me. I've been in ministry for almost 30 years right now. And I didn't realize when I went through my divorce, everybody was watching me, how I handled it. And it took some good people like Pastor and First Lady Smith, they were a blessing to me during that time. And they didn't give up on me, thank God. Amen. It's things like that, people that stuck with me, that encouraged me, that said that you can make it. And it just pushed me and propelled me to continue this journey that I'm on. I don't say all these things to make you feel sorry for me. God said, use your life experiences for my glory. Because there are so many people that are going through the same thing. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also he will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Whatever I'm going through or whatever I've gone through, it's common to man, is what Paul said. That means that people can relate to your story and my story and can connect to you. This is why I wanted to share some photos. I don't know if they are up there at the moment. There it is. I want to share these photos with you. All these people here, I was able to connect with. Every one of them here has a story. And I was able to share my testimony with pretty much everyone that you see up there on the screen. And I was able to make a connection with all of these people. There's another slide I would like to share. I don't know. There it is. There's a young man by the name of Derek there in the picture. And I'm having a heart-to-heart talk with him. And Derek was on drugs. He was a part of gang. He used to be involved in a lot of gang activities. But right there in the pool, they didn't think I was going to get into the water with my brand-new Dockers on. But I've come to grips with this. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when they saw that I cared enough to get in the water with them, it just did something to me, and it did something for them. Brings tears to my eyes. It brings tears to my eyes. I baptized Derek in the name of Jesus in that pool. And he's no longer a part of gang activities. He's no part of drugs. He told me a few weeks ago that he doesn't even do any drinking anymore. He said, I got a good job. He said, I'm looking for a wife. And I rededicated myself to Christ. And if you can go back to the other picture, there's another young lady, her name is Monica. Monica told me that she was abused by her dad. And I told her I was abused as a child. But a year ago, she told me, she said, when I told her that I was abused by a child, it caused her to want to go ahead and fulfill and live her dream. And I baptized her in Jesus' name. I get excited. I get excited about evangelism. I don't do this for me. Somebody asked me, what do you do it for? I do it because I love Christ. And I know all that Christ has done for me and everything that he's brought me out of. Monica is no longer feeling sorry for herself. Monica is now going to nursing school. And she's rededicated herself to Christ. I just give God all the praise. You just don't know what God will do for you or how he will use you to help change or transform someone's life. All these people here, these kids are, a lot of them were homeless. a lot of them without clothes and food. And there's two people in that video, Sister Kathy, and there's a pastor that's in that video that heard of what I was doing. And I'm not trying to be big-headed, but I love evangelizing. I love reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And they heard about the services that I put on in these apartment complexes. Even the apartment manager got excited because they shut this pool down for various reasons. She said, if you're doing all this for Christ, if you need to baptize people, you can use that pool. And they gave us access to use the pool to baptize people. I'm getting a little excited now. Because this particular day, I baptized 12 people out of that crowd. Every weekend, I would take these people food and things like that. And I want to mind you right now, I'm not rich. But I was willing to sacrifice any funds that I had to feed these people. Because some of these kids you see here were hungry. I remember as a kid when I was hungry. And it just touched my heart, touched my spirit to know that I could bring them some type of food. But when Kathy heard of what I was doing, I didn't realize that she owned a pantry. She had worked in a pantry center. And so she had her trucks loaded up food and toiletries and everything and brought it to the apartment. We were able to hand out food, clothes, just different things to these families. And we were touching lives at the same time. And it just gives me great joy to know that there are people that care enough to want to jump on board and support your vision. Because the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And I'm so grateful that she opened up the door for her pantry centers to bring in food for us. And also, before any of these people ever came to my church, I had services in these apartment complex. We had a baptismal service, but we also had a church service in these apartments, and had some great services outside. And there was time when it started raining. They didn't care. We still had church. We still had church. We still, amen, glorified the Lord. And what I want to tell you today, church, I'm getting a little emotional. Just bear with me. God is faithful. Yes. And God saw that I had a vision. And I had a desire to even take these people to church. And the pastor that's in here is this young man at the end. He's a pastor, and I didn't know it. And he heard about it. And I said, Lord, I have a desire to bring these people to church. So I get a call from his church. They said, we want you to come to our church and pick up a church van. And they gave us a 15-passenger van. And I was able to transport these people to church for 2 years. God told me a long time ago, if it's his will, it's his bill. If it's his will, it's his bill. I've been in ministry a long time, and I remember just knowing that what I've done, if it's God's will, he's going to foot the bill. So they gave us a 15-passenger van, and just kind of let you know, I pastored a church for 17 years right around the corner here, and the people heard that we needed a church. So they gave us a church, 2.3 acres. I paid $20 for it. All I did was take the pastor to lunch. Come on, somebody. When you're about your Father's business, there's no telling what God will do. Come on, I just give God praise and thank him for all of his mercies and his grace. He's a good God. He's faithful. And every time you do something for Christ, you just say, if it's your will, it's your bill. Amen. A pastor friend of mine told me before he ever became a pastor. I don't know how I'm getting a little off, but I apologize. I'm getting a little emotional. But he told me before he started pastoring, God told him to witness to homeless people. So he went out and witnessed to homeless people. And out of all the people that he witnessed to that were homeless, he won one gentleman out of the homeless group. And just to make a long story short, 30 years has passed, and this homeless man is now a presbyter of an organization. And he's the presbyter of the man that witnessed to him, that reached him and pulled him out of the homeless situation. And now he's his presbyter. You just don't know what God will do. You can't judge a book by its cover. People didn't think I would be a preacher. I used to get in trouble all the time. I hate to disappoint you, but I used to get in trouble all the time. And the officer that used to patrol our school asked me when he seen me 25 years later, he said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "I'm pastoring the church." He said, "How did that happen?" It was God's grace and God's mercy. God's grace and his mercy. I want us to just to thank the Lord right now. Let's just thank the Lord right now. He's a good God. He's a good God. I pastored a church for 17 years. 9 times out of 10, people are not just going to walk into your church unless you invite them or you bring them. I even do what they call home Bible studies. If they don't come to church, I bring the church to them. I love doing that. I love bringing the word of God into the house. And I don't brag and say that I'm something great. I brag about him because he's great. I started having services in this apartment complex that I just showed you. And the manager was so thrilled, she never had a church home as well. And 2 weeks after I stopped having service out there in these apartment complex, this apartment manager found our church. And she said, "I remember when you baptized all those people." She said, "I want to be baptized too." It's just amazing what God will do when you believe. I want to share some scriptures here with you in the book of 1 Corinthians real quick. Is this all right? Yes. Something that God shared with me. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Don't judge a book by its cover." Now let's read this here real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all can tell I'm nervous. It's all right. But it's good. I'm excited here this morning. Now the scripture says, "For by one," in verse 13, "for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one spirit." It says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Everybody can't be the pastor and wife. Somebody got to be the usher. It'll make sense here in a minute. It says, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Well, of course it is. Every part of the body is important. Everyone in here is important. Every one of you here today, under the sound of my voice, are important. Everybody can't be the pastor and wife, but you can be an usher. You can work the sound machine. You can play instruments. You can teach Sunday school. You can do something. You matter in the kingdom of God. Every one of us here matter. Doesn't matter where you are placed. I preach a message, and I hope this is all right, Pastor Smith, but I'm a wild man. I preach the message, and I like to use different slogans. And I borrowed the slogan from the beer company, "This Buzz for You." And I changed it. And I said, "This boat," because the boat represented the ark. "This boat's for you. There's a place for you." In the ark, they had two different animals of every species. But let me tell you something. I always tell people when they come to church, get in where you fit in. Because there is a place, because the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. There is a place in the kingdom of God for you. Everybody is important. Everybody in here matters. Now, verse 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one members, were the body. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee." That gets me right there. Because if that eye did not have that hand, it couldn't feel. Every member is important. Every part of the body matters. Everyone in this place is important to God. Don't ever feel like I'm insignificant in the kingdom of God. You're not. You matter. You matter. Don't let the devil tell you that you don't matter. Don't let the enemy tell you don't matter. You matter in the kingdom of God. I wish I could preach like some of the great orators, like T.D. Jakes. But unfortunately, God didn't call me to be T.D. Jakes. He called me to be Regis Perkins. And I'm going to be the best Regis Perkins that I can be in the kingdom of God. Because I matter. There's a scripture that says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. One thing the devil cannot stand, church, is a person that has a made-up mind. The devil cannot stand when you have made up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord no matter what. David was a man that said, "I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what." There are different men of the Bible that said, "I'm going to serve God no matter what." And I want to tell you and encourage you that no matter what comes your way, you can be the greatest evangelist or teacher, preacher, whatever the case may be, in the kingdom of God when your mind is made up. I made my mind up a long time ago that no matter what I go through, I'm going to still reach people for Jesus Christ. Is that all right? That's good. Come on, we need some determined folks in these last days. We need some determined folks in these last days. Because there are people, it's just, life is so short. And we have a mandate to meet. Jesus Christ is coming back. We got to get these people in the house of God before it's too late. COVID has taken a lot of people out of here. So we got work to do. And we got to work while it is day. When the night coming, no man shall work. We got to get busy for Jesus Christ. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we just say amen? Amen. Come on, let's just clap our hands to the Lord. going to close with this. Connect. Everybody say connect. Connect. Make sure that you connect with your leader, your pastor, your wife. Don't do the will of God without connecting with your leadership. Stay connected to the church. Because the one thing that the enemy tries to do and the greatest tool that the enemy tries to use is distractions.
That's right.
And he will love to distract all of us from our ultimate purpose.
That's right.
If he can get you distracted, and I'm going to use this as an example, distract you from one person that don't like you versus 99 people that love you. He'll use that distraction. Don't let the enemy distract you from the ultimate purpose. We got work to do. We got to stay focused. Let's stay connected to each other. We got to get rid of divisions, because the Bible says a house cannot stand if it's divided. The most powerful church is a unified church. When we're unified in Christ, can't nothing stop us. Can't nothing stop us. We're all different up in here. Hey, can I say it like that? We're all different in this place, but we're still a part of the same body. Oh, let's unify ourselves together. Can we stand for a few moments and let's unify ourselves in prayer and say, God, help me to be a vessel for Jesus Christ, that I can win the lost in this lost and dying world. Let's just lift up our hands right now and lift and begin to pray in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you today for allowing us this time, this opportunity. I ask you right now to bless each and every one of us here under the sound of my voice, that we can go and evangelize this world and turn this world upside down for your glory, Lord Jesus. Not for my glory, not for my credit, not for to be popular, but for your glory today. God, I just pray right now. I ask you to bless the pastor and wife of this church. I ask you to bless every member of this church. Strengthen us, oh God. Empower us through your spirit, oh God, that you're able to have your way in our lives. And we just give you praise. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen.